Please open your Bibles to John chapter 3 as we continue our verse-by-verse look at the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 3. This morning we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Would you please stand if you are able for the reading of John 3, beginning at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. To remind you of the context, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and a noted teacher of Israel, came to Jesus by night to speak to the one that he recognized as a teacher who had come from God. Nicodemus was aware of the miracles that Christ had performed, and for that reason concluded that God must be with him. Jesus speaks to this scholarly Pharisee and insists that true spiritual knowledge requires a spiritual birth, a birth from above. It is only when a person has been born again that they can see and enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he has come down from heaven, having been sent by the Father for the salvation of sinners. The Son of Man, Jesus says, must be lifted up, as was the bronze serpent when lifted up in Moses' day. Jesus is speaking, of course, of the importance of the cross on which he would be crucified for the sins of those that he came to save. By his sacrifice, he would pay the debt that man owes to God, but cannot pay himself. On the cross, Jesus would make atonement for sinners, an atonement that they could not make for themselves. On the cross, Jesus would redeem his people and purchase them that they might be God's own possession. Those who look upon him in believing faith, he says, will not perish. That is, they will not be judged. They will not be condemned. They will not experience the second death, which is eternal separation from God. What a glorious thing it is to know that those who have trusted in Christ will not be judged and will not be condemned on that great day where all the nations and all the peoples of the earth stand before the one into whom hands God has placed that judgment, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And later in John's Gospel, Jesus declared, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but as passed from death to life." What a glorious thing it is to be free from that condemnation and that judgment which will come upon those who do not believe. To the Romans, Paul wrote triumphantly, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Later on in that same chapter in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, he continues, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." The one whom Jesus came to save is the one who is kept by Jesus from falling. He has passed out of death into life. Do you know that you have eternal life right now? That belongs to you? That is a present reality? Yes, you will die physically, but you will not die spiritually. Your soul, when you die, will depart your body and go to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. While the final sentencing of those who reject Christ is still in the future, their judgment will merely consummate what has already begun. They are already condemned. They are already judged. They are condemned and they are judged because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The unbeliever is condemned because he has stubbornly refused to believe in Jesus Christ, who is the object of saving faith. Christ himself declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now you need to understand that Jesus was talking not only about those in his day, but he was talking about those in every day since that day. All, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. Peter boldly declared, "Nor is there salvation in another, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The scripture is as clear as glass. The only way to be saved from the guilt and penalty of sin is to believe in the only begotten Son of God, whom the Father in love sent so that men might not perish but have eternal life. That is good news, is it not? That is good news that we not only glory in, that is good news that we want to share with others. We want to share with those who stand condemned and judged. We want to share that there is a way of escape. There is a way not to perish. There is a way not to be condemned. There is a way not to be judged eternally and sentenced to everlasting death. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ and belief in him. Now Jesus concludes his teaching by pointing out that unbelief is intentional and culpable. Jesus came into the world to save those who believe, but he is nonetheless obliged to state the case for judgment. And this is the condemnation, or your translation might read, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. One commentator has noted correctly, there is no limit to the amount of evidence that could convict mankind in God's court. But there is one offense for which the world receives its truest condemnation. That offense is the world's response to the coming of God's Son. At the outset of his gospel, John described Jesus as the light shining into the world. But Jesus, as men love darkness rather than the light. And this is the world's truest condemnation. When God shined his most loving light, the world loved darkness instead, hating the light. And if you want proof of that, all you have to do is look at the scripture and read about how men treated the light when he came into a world of darkness. Men demonstrated their darkness and their love of darkness by the way they treated Jesus when he came into the world. Just think of the birth of Jesus Christ and what happened as a result of that birth. Herod wanted to know, remember, where the king was born. And when he found out where the king had been born, what did he set his heart to do? They set his heart to go to that place in Bethlehem to seek out the child? No. He sought to put him to death. And children, male children, 2 years age, 2 years of age and younger, were slaughtered in Herod's attempt to put to death the newborn king, the Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. Then you think about how Jesus was treated by the scribes and the Pharisees, the rulers of Israel. They were jealous of him. They envied him. They hated him because he was one who taught with authority. An authority that escaped them, authority with which they didn't teach and preach. They hated him because he confronted their hypocrisy. They hated him. And they hated him so much that they wanted nothing more than to see him dead. And when Jesus did his miracles, what did they say about those miracles? Not that they were performed by God, but that he did them through the power of the devil, through Beelzebub. He was misunderstood. And we think of the trial that Christ endured. And we think of the cross that he carried. We think of the mocking. We think of the scourging. We think of Christ being spit upon. And what is that declaring to us? That declares to us that men love darkness rather than the light. Martin Lloyd-Jones comments, "If you want to know what this world is like, look at what it did to him. He was the Son of God. He had left the throne of heaven. He had come and humbled himself, and he gave himself to healing people and instructing them. He never did anyone any harm. He went about doing good. What was the response of the world? It hated him. It persecuted him. It rejected him. It chose a murderer before him. It crucified him. It killed him. And there on the cross, he exposed the world for what it is, a world of darkness." It would be a great mistake to think that the world has changed even a little bit since then. It has not. If Jesus came today, his treatment would be the same. We know this by how the majority of people respond to what? To the gospel. Lloyd-Jones notes, the clever men of this world today are laughing at the cross. They are mocking it. They are jeering at it. They are making fun of the blood of Christ, and they are trying to ridicule it. They are only doing what their disciples, what their forefathers had done in the first century. This is what the world has always done to him. What was true in the first century and was true in the 20th century is true in the 21st century. People love darkness and they hate the light. The world is condemned before God on many charges, but all pale before the true condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light. He says that people rejected the light for darkness because their deeds were evil. Now, Richard Phillips makes an important comment. Phillips says this: Christians are sometimes frustrated by the gospel's apparent lack of success and are tempted to use unbiblical methods that will win the world's approval. But they fail to realize that the true problem is a moral one. People love darkness and hate the light. Therefore, one of the worst things we can do is encourage people to enjoy church without challenging their love for sin. Worldly entertainment in the church does not promote true and saving faith, but false and empty religion. Salvation requires God's supernatural work to change hearts. You must be born again, Jesus says. There is only salvation for those who trust in Christ, and only those who trust in Christ with saving faith are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. And it is that being born again that enables them to trust savingly in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for salvation. Men do not come to the light. Men do not love the light because man doesn't have an intellectual problem. Man has a moral problem. And the problem that man has is that he loves darkness and loves his sin. And he does not want to forsake sin. He does not even want to acknowledge that what he or she is involved in is in fact sin. We reject the light. We hate the light and love darkness because we love our sin. There's a man by the name of Huxley, who's a 20th century atheist. And he spent his whole life opposing the Bible and teaching that life is without meaning. Now listen to what he wrote. He says, "For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was simultaneously liberation from a certain political and economic system and liberation from a certain system of morality." And what was the system of morality he was talking about at that point? It was the morality taught in the scripture. He goes on to say this: "We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. I had motives for not wanting the world to have a meaning. Consequently, I assumed that it had none and was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption." don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. And they want to continue on in those deeds. They want to continue on enjoying their sin. And woe to anyone who would tell them that what they're involved in is sinful behavior and will be result in the just condemnation of God. Don't call what I do and enjoy and love sin. They love evil. They love sin. They love darkness. And they do not want their sins to be confronted and exposed. And so love of sin keeps them from believing, keeps them from coming to Christ. Jesus goes on to say, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light because lest his deeds," excuse me, "should be exposed." Because sinners fear that their sins will be brought into the light, they hate Jesus all the more. William Hendrickson explains, "Such a person is always avoiding the light. That is, he will have nothing to do with the Christ. Hence, he never reads the Bible, refuses to attend church, etc. In his heart, he really hates the light. The reason for this is that he fears lest by this light his evil deeds might be exposed. People of this type resemble loathsome insects that hide themselves beneath logs and stones, always preferring the darkness." And it terribly frightens them to be exposed to the light. This is the motive, especially among those who are respectable in the eyes of others and want to keep it that way. They want to be thought of as good people. They want to be thought of as humble people. They want to be thought of as good-hearted people who do good things, and therefore they do not want their evil, their sins, to be exposed. But listen, my friends. Unless a person's sins are exposed, at least to that person, unless a person understands that in those sin, they abide under the condemnation and judgment of Almighty God, they will have no reason to turn from their sin and to trust in the one who is the light, in the one who is able to keep them from perishing, in the one who is able to clothe them in his righteousness, so that on the day of judgment, they will be able to stand in the presence of God blameless and with great joy. What an awful thing it is when there are those Christian churches that will not confront sin, that will not expose the darkness that people live in their sin, because they are afraid to offend and upset anyone. But unless sin is confronted, unless the reality of condemnation and judgment is placed before people because of their sin, then they will not have a compelling reason to look to Christ in faith, so they will not perish and will not be condemned. We must preach the law. We must expose people and their sins so that we might encourage them to flee to the only one who can save them from their sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the one who comes to the light and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who not only loves the Savior, but he also loves the light that he finds in the Word of God. Jesus said, "He who does the truth comes to the light." The person who believes in the living Word of God also looks to the written Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 speaks of God's Word as the light by which believers walk. "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We not only study the Bible that we might know it, but we seek by God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to live by what we read and by what we know. And we do that because we have been transferred, praise God, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, which is a kingdom of light. And so those who have been born again, who have come believingly to Jesus Christ for salvation, those people do not run from the light, but they run to the light, that they might have the light of God's Word shined upon their lives, so that they might look in that mirror and see where they have fallen short, so that they might confess and repent of those sins and seek forgiveness. And to be assured that the blood of Christ cleanses them from their sin. Those who come to the light, those who come to Jesus Christ, love the light of God's Word and seek to live in it and seek to live by it. And they seek to walk in the light because of love and gratitude for what Christ has done for them in coming into the world and saving them from their sin. Let me ask you a question this morning. Those of you who have believed, do you love the Savior? In your heart of hearts, do you really love him? Do you love him because of who he is? Do you love him because of what he has done for you and what he continues to do for you? Do you love him because he gave his life to save you? Do you love him because he ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand and he ever lives to make intercession for you? Do you love him because he keeps you from falling and stumbling and is able to present you faultless before the Father's throne? Do you love him? And if you love him, do you love the light of the Word that he has given to you to guide you, to guard you, to protect you? And if you love the Word, because you love the living Word, Jesus Christ, are you in it daily? Do you read it? And do you pray for God's grace to live by it, that you might glorify him? You see, that is why we love the light. Why we love the light of God's Word, it is because we love God, who is light. And we seek to live by that light because our desire is to glorify him. Walk in the light, therefore, brothers and sisters, as he himself is in the light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the coming of Christ. We thank you that he was that light which came into the world to expel darkness. And yet, Father, that light was unappreciated and despised because the world loves darkness. Because the world loves their sin. Because the world wants to live in sin and not have their evil deeds exposed. Father, we thank you that by your sovereign grace and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that we have been born again to a living hope. That we have been born again by the Spirit of God. That we have a life that will never end, given to us by the God whose rule and reign will never end. Father, we pray that you would help us as your dear children, as those who are the sons and daughters of light. Help us to live by the light of your word, that we might glorify you, and help us to confront the world of darkness that we live in with the gospel truth. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.